This morning, we're going to be in the book of Acts. We've started a new series. Last week, we began the looking at verses 1 through 8, where we talked about what it means to be a Great Commission Christian, and Jesus has given the Great Commission. It's worded a little bit different than it is in the one that we know the best in Matthew chapter 28, but in Acts chapter 1, he says, you will receive power and you will become my witnesses and to all of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And so that is a Great Commission statement. That is what we as believers are supposed to do. It's Jesus' last command. It's the first thing that we should do, and it is the first thing that we should focus on, and that is to make disciples, to be witnesses, and we can do that because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, before we get in much further, the Holy Spirit has not come yet in the form of, in the way that he will indwell the individual until a chapter later at Pentecost. And so the sermon today is talking about in the meantime. What do we do in the meantime between Jesus saying what he said and him coming back? And so what I want to do today is pick up in verse 9 and we'll read through verse 26, we'll finish up that chapter, and then I want to pull out three aspects of what Jesus tells us to do in the meantime. And so, if you would, we'll start in verse 9, and we'll read through the rest of what it has to say. So Jesus has just said, you will be my witnesses, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And then he says, after he said this, he was taken up. He was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing into heaven. And suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them, and they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the heavens? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. So in other words, he's going to come down the same way he went up. Verse 12 says, and then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they had been staying. And Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And during these days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The number of people who were together was about 120. And he said this. He says, brothers, the scripture has been fulfilled that the Holy Spirit through the mouth of David spoke in advance about Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was one of our number and was allotted a share in this ministry. Now, this man acquired a field with his unrighteous wages. He fell head first and burst open in the middle, and all of his insides spilled out. That was not a good day. Verse 19 goes on to say, and this became known to all the residents in Jerusalem, so that in their own language, they called this field Hakadima, which is the field of blood. Verse 20 goes on to say, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling become desolate, let no one live in it, and let someone else take his position. Therefore, from among the men who have accompanied us during the whole time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taking up from us. From among these it is necessary that one become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two. Joseph, called Barabbas, who was also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed. You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic service that Judas left to go to his own place. They cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias. So he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This morning I want to look at what do we do in the meantime? What do we do in the meantime of going that Jesus makes this statement that we are to be witnesses until his coming back? The first thing that happens in this passage and the first thing that we see is that Jesus is coming again. You see in this passage, and it's something that we have been waiting for generations. It is something that we should never stop waiting for. It's something that we should live in urgency for, and that is the return of Jesus. Now, Jesus has dealt with the apostles or the disciples in the first few verses of this chapter when they say, okay, is it time for us to take over? Is it time for us to avenge ourselves? Is it time for you to take out your enemies? And Jesus says, don't worry about that time. Let's worry about the kingdom. And then after he gives the commission, after he tells them that they are to be witnesses, he ascends into heaven. Now, you could picture if you were there that day, you would be right alongside the disciples, and you're watching Jesus go up, and you're watching as long as you can until he's no longer visible. And maybe you keep looking up, straining. Maybe I'll get a little bit of a glimpse of him. Is it possible that maybe I might see one more time what's going on? And while they're gazing up, these two guys show up. And so their attention is toward the sky, toward the heavens. And all of a sudden they hear this voice saying, hey, what are y'all doing? What are you doing wasting your time looking up? What are you doing gazing? This Jesus who has gone up is coming back. He's coming back the same way he went up. So he went up into the heavens. He will descend and he will call his people home. That is a major theme in the New Testament. It is a major theme in Christianity that Jesus is coming back for his people and that he will bring them with him. That he will give them resurrection, that he will give them a new body, a new beginning, and that they will one day rule with him. So stop gazing up. Stop looking up. Stop counting the days. Stop coming up with these foolish predictions that has embarrassed Christianity and made people look like fools for hundreds or even thousands of years now. What do we do in the meantime? What do we do between Jesus ascending and his coming back? He promised he would come back. We are to live life in urgency. We are to live life in expectation. We are to live life waiting for him to return. We don't just say, oh, he ain't come back yet. He's never going to come back. We live life waiting for him. And there's several parables along those lines that talk about how we should be prepared for his coming. What do we do in the meantime, though? There are two more aspects of this passage that talk about what do we do in the meantime. The first thing I want us to see is that believers have to focus on prayer. Believers have to focus on prayer. After Jesus ascends and the angels say, hey, what are you guys doing? Why are you waiting here? He's coming back again. What are you supposed to do? They return back to where they had been. They go back to an upper room. They go back to this place where they can be out of sight. They can be away from the noise. They can be away from all of the various distractions that are found there in Jerusalem. And they begin to pray. About 120 of them, so apparently it was a fairly large room. And they begin to pray. They don't just pray once and then say, okay, Jesus, what's going on? They don't just wait and say, God, we're just going to wait here. We're going to twiddle our thumbs. We're just going to be here. Just show up. No, they go and they begin to focus on a life filled with prayer. And so all of the disciples there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. Jesus' brothers are there. And by that, we mean James, who becomes the leader of the Jerusalem church, and Jude, both of these men, wrote books in the New Testament. They wrote letters. And so Jesus' brothers, once he is resurrected, finally believe that he is the Son of God. And they get together and they spend time continually in prayer. We hear lots of sermons on prayer. We hear lots of times where people talk about how we should pray and how it should be a focus of what we do. But folks, never take prayer for granted. Never assume that prayer is the last resort. It needs to be the first thing you do. When you want to know what God wants for you, when you want to seek his will, when you want to just be with him, prayer is how you do it. Prayer is this conversation that we get to have with God where we talk to him. And it doesn't have to have special language. We don't have to speak in King James. We don't have to use words like thou and thus and lordest, dearest. You don't have to do that. Talk to God like you talk to anyone else. You can be honest with him. You can be open with him. You can share your deepest, darkest desires, passions, secrets. You could tell him anything. And God uses prayer to change who we are. God uses prayer to build expectation. God uses prayer to set us up as we read scripture to hear from him. Prayer is one half of the communication where we pray to God and we listen to him through his word. So we encourage you. We've been encouraging you for over a year now. Read scripture. The more you read scripture, the more you hear from God. The more you read scripture, the more you know what God expects from you. The more you read scripture, the more you have the ability to hear God's voice. We want you to hear God's voice. So we talk to him through prayer, and we listen to him through his word. The apostles are there. The disciples are there in the upper room. And they're spending time praying. Now, these are the people who walked with Jesus for 3 years. These are the people who saw him resurrected. These are the people who heard his teaching. These are the people who watched his miracles. And they don't rely on the old experiences. They spend their time in prayer. How many of you are living in past Christianity instead of focusing on what God's doing now? The apostles, the disciples, they are focused on what God has now and coming forward. They're not living off of past miracles. They're not living off of past teachings. They're not living off of any of that. They want to know what God has for them to do now. And too many of us treat Christianity like it's a museum where I used to do this, or one time I did this. One time I went on a mission trip. One time I shared my faith. One time I did X, Y, or Z. And we confuse one time with what God wants to do with us right now. So the apostles spend time in prayer. They spend time focused on what God wants them to do. And I encourage you with all that I am, spend time in prayer daily. And not just a quick prayer where you could check it off the list. Throughout the day, come back and spend time in prayer with God. Listen to his voice. Hear what he has to tell you. And I would even encourage you to spend time in prayer and fasting. Fasting is when we deprive ourselves of one thing, usually food, so that we can focus everything we are on God. It shows God you're serious about it. Shows yourself you're serious about it. So I encourage you, and you really want to hear God's voice, spend time fasting and praying about what it is that God wants you to hear. So the apostles are in prayer. And then they begin to do something else. They begin to spend time in prayer, and they are compelled to be the church. As we listen to what God tells us to do, we are compelled to be the church. We are compelled to do what God calls us to do. We are compelled to listen to him and to be who he wants us to be. And they do that by calling a new leader. They focus that at this time on leadership. So believers, we are to push forward the gospel. We are to push forward what God wants us to do. So we spend time in prayer, we understand what he wants us to do, and we push forward the good news. Remember verse 8, you're going to be my witnesses. How do we do that? Well, in this case, they say we need somebody to get take the place of Judas. Judas betrayed us. Judas betrayed Jesus. He went out and hung himself. Nobody took down the body. It fell. Bad things happen. Nobody goes to the field. And we got to get somebody else in his place. And so they begin to pray. Again, prayer, focused prayer on what God wants them to do. And out of that, they come up with two men as the church. They come up with two guys. They have the one guy who is Matthias, and the other guy is Joseph, who has a couple of other names. Some people call him Justice. Some people call him Barnabas or Barabbas, but his name is Joseph. And so Joseph and Matthias are there. They are going to be future leaders in the church. But which one of these will take the place of Judas? I want you to notice a few things about these guys. These are not guys who they picked because of a beauty contest. They didn't pick these two because of a personality contest. They didn't pick these two because one was nicer to them versus the other. They didn't pick these two based on their given record. They picked these two because they had been with Jesus since the beginning. They said, for this particular aspect of being an apostle, we want somebody who was there when Jesus was baptized by John and someone who was there when Jesus was raised and saw the resurrection. So they bring forth these two men. We don't know much about these men at all. We just know that they're faithful to the kingdom. And through the providence of God, Matthias is chosen. And I think what it teaches us is it teaches us a lesson about how we choose who to follow, how we choose our leaderships. How do we push the gospel forward? We pick people who have been with Jesus. We pick people to follow who know what God's teaching is. We pick people to follow who are able to teach us and to know the kingdom and push forward the kingdom. They push forward the church. And God has called us today, you and me, to do the same things that the early church did before the Holy Spirit even showed up and indwelt them. We are to spend time in prayer. We are to spend time waiting for Jesus to come back with a sense of urgency, with a sense of responsibility, with a sense of need to be witnesses who boldly share the gospel. So we are to wait for Jesus' return. We are to push the gospel forward. We are to give the gospel to others. And one way the early church did that was through selecting leadership. What are we doing to push the gospel forward? What are you doing to share about who Jesus is? What are you doing? Are you ready to spend time, significant time, in prayer? Are you ready to give your all to Him? Are you ready to push forward with the gospel? Are you expectantly waiting for His return? Are you ready to follow Him to the end? Are you ready to give Him your life? Are you ready to follow Him in baptism? Are you ready to get involved in service? What is God calling you to do? What is your next step? How do you push forward the gospel? Maybe God is calling you to teach someone. Maybe God is calling you to intentionally disciple someone. Maybe God is calling you to do something that scares you, that you've never been ready for, that you don't think you're ready for. But when we rely on the Spirit, we can do whatever God has called us to do. What is that for you? How is the gospel being pushed forward in your life? I want you to think about that. And as we respond to God, respond to Him in a way that you give Him your all. Maybe you spend time in prayer. Maybe you ask for forgiveness for not giving your all. Maybe you need to give Him your life. You've never been a follower anyway. Maybe you've visited. Maybe you've kicked the tires. Maybe you're interested in Jesus and Christianity, but you've never really given Him your life. Said, I'm going to follow you instead of my own desires and my own passions. I'm going to make you God instead of me. Will you do that today? As the music plays, will you stand and respond to God? Father God, as we listen to your word this morning, we are encouraged by the fact that you said you are coming again. And even though it may seem like it's taken a long time, you have never been unfaithful to your promises. So, Father, we wait in expectation. We wait in knowledge that you are always truthful and that you will one day return. But in the meantime, God, I pray that we would focus our life on prayer and on pushing the gospel forward. We'd focus on communion with you and communication with you and getting to know you better and pushing the gospel forward. That we would listen to your voice and we do what you called us to do. If that means that we go somewhere, that we go. It means that we give more, that we give more. We give more of ourselves. We give more of our time. We give more of our passion to you. Father God, I pray that we would hear your voice clearly and that we would obey. And God, I pray that as your church goes forward, that you would be glorified in every aspect. In your name we pray. Amen. Celebrate Jesus in this last song.